Okay, we are in Perek Yud Beis, starting a new Perek, Nefesh HaChaim, Shar Beis, Perek Yud Beis. And I have to say, first of all, I apologize, I missed on Sunday. I just can't get past this cold, but it didn't help to stay home, so here I am. Amen. Thank you. I'm going to say before I say anything else that this is a concept which is easy to say words, and it's easy to understand the words, but I'm finding it very difficult to internalize and understand what does this really mean. So I'm going to hope to following. I'm going to hope that I'll say the words, and you're on a high enough level to absorb it. But it's this is what we're dealing with. But the let's to start like this. The Nefesh HaChaim says, "L'cheina Abu Rabbi Seinu Zal." The Chazal say, "Kol Abishatev Shem Shabai Betzaroi." Is a quote from the Talmud. "Kol Abishatev Shem Shabai Betzaroi." Koiflin lo parnasoso, that a person is in tsar. God forbid a person is in pain, physical pain, emotional pain. A person is in pain. When we're in pain, if you're a religious person, you tend to pray. What is the prayer? Take me out of pain. I'm in pain. Stop the pain. Why am I in pain?
So I can serve you. So I can serve you.
So now we're saying, Bishatev Shem Shabayim, we've been saying this for a couple of weeks, Kol HaBishatev Shem Shabayim B'tzaroi, I'm bringing God into this picture, but I'm not just praying, relieve me from my pain, and here's the hard part, we've been saying this, but now we're saying it even deeper, not just relieve me from my pain, but relieve yourself from your pain, meaning whenever we're in pain, Hashem is in pain. It's a Mefarsh Pasuk, Imoi Anoichi Betzara. He's with us in pain. Now, of course, the question is, well, if you're in such pain over our pain, so don't put us in pain and you won't be in pain. You know, V'yaret Dir Gebeten. But I have to tell you something, just a personal thing, that part of the reason why I'm having a difficult time with this before I begin is because since I was home for a couple of days, not well, so I used the time to do something I wanted to do for the last couple of years, and I was doing research on my family that perished in the Holocaust. So this is not a good thing to do when you don't feel good. the city in Poland, Stanislaw, and how they were all systematically shot, 500 every day, you know, my great-grandparents and uncles and aunts and everybody amongst them, and the degree of evil that people could get to, and the degree of suffering, you know, the level of suffering that Jews went through. I mean, you know, it's terrible. Like, you know, you hear a story like a Pittsburgh story or so many other stories, unfortunately, but, you know, it's painful. But when you start, you know, 500 people a night in one little shtetl being shot to death, you know, for nothing, and, you know, for nothing, I mean, just total evil. And the pain, and nobody knew where they went or where they were going. It was just a terrible, terrible situation. So it made it a little bit more difficult for me to, to absorb or to feel bad for Hashem, feel bad for God. I'm just being very honest here. But yet, Chazal tell us, Kol HaBishatev Shem Shabayim B'tzaroi Koiflo Loi Parnasasei. I went to, while I'm schmoozing here, I went to on Monday night, even though I wasn't feeling well, I went to a Yutes Kislev Far Bregen. Maybe a few of you were there. So people asked me, why'd you go? I said, my resistance was low. Yeah. So the wonderful speaker there, I came in sort of the middle of a speech and sat in the back, but the wonderful speaker there told a story. It's a story I knew, but he told the story a little bit wrong. I want to tell the story correctly, correct the record. But the story was that the Kleuzenberger Rebbe, who was a great, great tzaddik, lived in America, lived in Netanya, and lived in Kleuzenberg. Tzadz Kleuzenberg. It was Tzadz Kleuzenberg. He said the Tzadzer Rebbe was the Kleuzenberger Rebbe. He went through the concentration camps with his Hasidim, with his Kehila. And a lot of these great rebbes, it's important to know, they had ways to get out because they had, you know, kinds of, you know, pull in America. They had ways to, maybe they could have gone out. Many of them chose not to, just because they felt they had to be there for their people. Like, it's easy to be a rabbi when you're getting covered, but, you know, to be there for the people when they're suffering and to help them more struggle through their struggles. That was a difficult. But when they were liberated, so they went into a DP camp, and Kleuzenberg Rebbe spoke, or they davened together with a minyan. It was the first time they davened with a minyan for a long time, and the Kleuzenberg Rebbe was leading the davening. And when it came to Tachanun, so Tachanun, you say, you know, Ashamnu, Baganu, Gazalnu, everyone started saying, Tachanun, we have sinned, we rebelled against you, you know, we spoke against you, we stole. So he turned around to the tzibur, famous story, he turned around to the tzibur, he says, we didn't do any of these things. We were in a concentration camp. We were being tortured. What do we do wrong? What do we do to deserve this? What do we do? Where do we steal? Where do we talk negatively? What do we do? Efa bagadnu. And apparently he closed the siddur. He was upset. He was angry. He closed the siddur. And he went without Tachnun. And then a couple of minutes later, he opened the siddur again. And he says, I think maybe I understand why we should say Tachnun. He says, we didn't sit in the classical sense of the word. But what he said was, how many times while we were going through this pain did we turn to God and say, just kill us already? What do we need this pain for? What are you doing to us? Why are you torturing us? How many times did we say, you're mean? And he says, for that, we have to do tshuva. Not because we question God. This was the important part. But because we question ourselves. Because the fact that Hashem put us in this world in whatever situation that we're in means that we have something we have to accomplish. We have some kind of a purpose. And the moment that we don't recognize the purpose, the moment we give up, this is the problem with suicide. Even a person's a lot of pain. It's not so much he's taking his life, he's taking his neshama, because the person is saying, I have no purpose in this world, I have no reason to be here. Or my pain is stronger than my purpose. This is the chet, this is the avera of what it is. And for that, the ashamnu is really not so much questioning God. Look, if you're angry at God, you're not questioning him. If you're angry at God, you believe in God, otherwise what are you angry at? But if you're angry at God, which is a form of love, you know, you only get angry at your wives and your kids and things. Everybody else who cares, you know. But if you're angry, so it means that you believe. But it also means that I'm not understanding what it is that I'm supposed to be accomplishing. What it is that I was created for. That I have a higher purpose. And it's really hard to figure that out when you're standing in line to a gas chamber. It's a difficult thing. I don't mean to be gory. I just had a gory week because I was thinking about this. But it's look, this is recent history, and unfortunately, I mean, you see that it's also, you know, once again, God forbid, you know, it's the rearing an ugly head again, the whole anti-Semitism thing. You're hearing stuff that you haven't heard for, you know, when I grew up in America, like most of you, like, okay, that's over with, you know, we got past that. Not so simple, you know. But anyways, so he says here that kol ha'mashativ shem shamayim mitzarei. I'm in tsar, I'm in trouble, I'm in pain, and now I'm including mashativ, means like a lashon of partnership. I'm including Hashem in my pain. Koiflin loy parnasasei. I get double the reward. What double? And what does it mean to include Hashem in my pain? Va'ilyin. What it means is, kibil vadza atzar shenasa lamala, kibishkabel oidshim biyasur rachman alasan, that, and we're going to explain this, that when I'm in pain, we have explained it, but I want to explain it better. When I'm in pain, Hashem is in pain. And I've caused that pain, but there's more than that. Why double? Ein erech v'dimyon klal zatzar shel ba'al l'neged oitzem hatzar shegarim l'mal l'beis ha'soyse alvin rachmanu l'tzlan. In other words, there's two things that happen here. Person does something wrong. Let's work with this for a moment. If you believe in the Torah, it becomes very clear that whatever is blessed in this world, whatever is good in this world, is because Hashem is shining in this world, smiling at us, so to speak. Ha'oras ponim. His light is shining in this world. And whatever feels negative in this world, which is so many things, kolos. So this is the whole Parshas Tochacha, Parshas Bechukaisai, Parshas Kisavo. This is the whole thing. It's because we have interrupted the circuit of light, which is coming into this world. This is not, anything Kabbalist. This is, Bible. That's what it says in the Torah. It doesn't ever give us the right to look at somebody else and say, you're suffering because you did this or this. You're not allowed to say. The Gemara says it's not a error to say that. But sometimes you can look at yourself and say, look, I know why I'm suffering. Possible. And you got to be right about that also. You can't, have to know what you're talking about. But there's one part of it that I've done something wrong. And another part of it, now I'm suffering from the consequences. So there's two things. There's two parts to it. One is doing something wrong. And one is, which is an aver, what I'm suffering for the consequences. In God's world, where he created us for a certain purpose, and now I go ahead and I do something very wrong. I kill somebody. That wasn't my purpose, to kill somebody. I wasn't created to kill. I was created to give life. So I'm taking an example, which nobody here did, I hope. One thing is, I've went off the purpose for my creation. I've so moved away from why Hashem created me to begin with, number one. Number two, there's consequences to that. Even in this world, there's consequences. You kill somebody besides for being a great disappointment to the God. You go to jail. Some states, you get the electric chair. There's consequences to hurting. So there's the consequences spiritual. There's the spiritual consequences and the spiritual deed itself. So these are two types of pain that I'm feeling and God is feeling with me. Why is he feeling with me? So let's say it simply. He's saying he's feeling with me because he didn't create us to kill people. So if you created something, you created, you hire somebody to help you in your business and the person is stealing from you in your business. That's very painful. Bad enough you're stealing from me, but I'm paying you. Paying you to steal from me. That's one thing. That's like a major disappointment. I made a big error. But then the other thing is, if I have to go ahead and do punitive measures, report you to the police or whatever. So that's the second thing. Not only did I hire somebody and you're hurting me. So Hashem created us. This is what's important to understand. He created us for a reason. And if we violated that reason, even in thought, ashamnu, bagandu, we've done something wrong. And then there's the consequences. What are the consequences for? To help us recognize and bring us back on track. In other words, the nice thing about this is God doesn't give up on us. He tries to set us back. I made the point many times before. It's not my point. But, my NCSY director as a kid. Was Rav Arya Kaplan. Hello, Michelle. That's how old I am. He was the NCSY leader, and Mayor Kahana was my youth director. I'm like totally schizophrenic here. And all the while, Shlomo Carlbach was hugging me. different forces. But he made the point. When he came to speak for us in Buffalo, New York, I was pretty young, and I really did not understand what he was talking about. He was like a neurophysicist and talking about, I don't know what he was talking about. He was talking to a bunch of young teenagers. But one thing I do remember he said that stuck in my mind forever. He said that people talk, it was back in the 60s, people talk about the Baal Tshuva movement. There's a movement of Baal Tshuva. He says, there is no Baal Tshuva movement. He says, there are movements that leave the way of Judaism that eventually come back. The movement is out of Judaism. The movement is not into Judaism. So it's not like all of a sudden everybody woke up and said, oh, I'm going to be a Baal Teshuva. Jews stood at Har Sinai. And this is the way we are. And this is our culture. And this is, and here we are thousands of years later, 3,000 years later. Here we are so many thousands of years later, and we're still here. And you'll see from time to time, for reasons that are understandable, people go off, and then somehow or another they drift back. Sometimes it misses a generation, sometimes two generations. Hard to find a third generation Reformed Jew. Hard to find. Am I right? I mean, either they're goyim, or they did tshuva. We don't stay off the track for that long. So. And it usually, unfortunately, it takes possibly a putative action, if you will, and the somewhat of a miracle. I think that a lot of people started coming back, not so much with the Holocaust, that's when like everybody went off, but that came the Six-Day War, for instance, and you know, God is still with us, we're still with God. So the point is, there's two parts to the system here. There's the disappointment of Hashem, where we cut off our tie with him. And then the other tsar is, which is really less of a tsar, now I got to put this thing back together again. And the beautiful thing is that he does. How does he put it back together? It's a mystery to me. I don't understand that. It's hard for me to internalize. But by connecting these wires again, which can be a painful thing. Although, if you break an arm and you go to the doctor, that's also a painful thing. If you need an operation, that's also a painful thing. And we also have tsar, and we daven for the person and all of that. But at the end, it's not the same tsar as when you hear somebody got, God forbid, into a car accident or something like that. That's a different tsar. At least it's being fixed. At least it's positive. That's what we're talking about. I'm going to skip here with good reason to the fourth or fifth paragraph, because I want to just dwell on the point which I think makes the point. The Gemara says in Brachas Lamed Aleph, many of you are familiar, a very important Gemara. Gemara speaks about what is the correct way to pray. Or, to put it more specifically, I'm not talking about Hilchos Tefillah, but how do you get your prayers answers? how do you get Hashem to answer your davening? So the Gemara gives here one of the things you're not allowed to do when you're davening is, this is the words of the Gemara, lahatiach dvarim klape mala. Lahatiach. So now I ask for the assistance of the language experts here, the linguists. Chano hitiach dvarel klape mala. Eliyahu hitiach dvarim klape mala. What does it mean? Hitiach. Hey, tes, yud, ches. Anybody know? Plaster. Castigate. Plaster is... What? Plaster, castigate. Why? That's a shorish. Well, what does castigate mean? To blame. Huh? To blame. So the actual word means to throw, like you throw a stone. Your matiach heaven. That's how they used to put on plaster. So that's why tiach is plaster. Tiach in Israel is stuff that gets on your jacket. You know, that's tiach. The lime plaster, you know. But there's this form of prayer where you're screaming at God. What the heck are you doing? How can you do this to us? You know, where are you? Why are you hiding? It's a form of belief. For sure, at least he's talking, but it's a rebuke. As you said, you're rebuking Hashem. There's a chutzpah involved in screaming at God. And the Gemara says, "Asir latiach dvarim klapi mala." Don't scream at God. Talk nicely. You're talking to God. Talk nicely. So says the Gemara. But the Gemara says there are three cases, which we find in Jewish history, and Nefesh HaChaim brings a fourth. Of hitiach dvarim klapei mala v'nishmalehem, and they were listened to. One of them was Chana. Chana wanted to have a son. She was barren. She wanted to have a son. Her son ended up being, of course, Shmuel HaNavi, one of the greatest, the greatest Navi probably, one of the greatest Jews in history, Shmuel HaNavi. Hannah davened in a peculiar way, because hitiach dvarel klapei malo. She screamed at God. She said, you know, what are you doing? You know, I have the capability of having a son that's going to save the whole Jewish people. I have the capability of creating somebody who could be a tzaddik. What are you doing? She screamed at God. Venena, the Gemara says, and she was answered. Hashem was okay with her screaming at him. And then it says, Moshe Rabbeinu screamed to God. After the eagle, Hashem said, let's destroy all the Jewish people. They built a golden calf. Let's destroy them. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, L'ama yamru agoyim b'ra yitziyam eretz Mitzrayim l'chaloysam al pnei adama. What are you doing? Moshe Rabbeinu looks at God and he says, what are you doing? You're going to destroy the Jewish people? Hello, Hashem. Everybody's going to say that you played with the Jewish people. You took them out of Egypt. You made miracles. You split the sea to kill them. What's the point over here? L'chalo yisam al pnei adam. And Moshe Rabbeinu screamed to God, Shuv micharoi napecha. Stop being so angry. V'nachem al ara al amecha. Just forgive them. It's okay. Menena. And Hashem said, okay, I'll go with that. I'll go with that. Interesting. Like, why did God need to be scolded here? It's a difficult concept. No? Difficult. Nothing worse is a third case of Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi is on Har Carmel, and he starts screaming at God. If you're going to listen to those prophets, Nevi'ei Abal, they're idolaters, and you're not going to do this miracle for me, it's a Chilul Hashem. Listen to me. And here the Gemara says, Hashem wasn't sure. I wasn't sure whether you should listen to Eliyahu HaNavi or not. It's a Gemara. First of all, what are you doing? He was bringing sacrifices in Haifa. You don't bring sacrifices in Haifa on Har Carmel. The whole thing was wrong. Second of all, you don't taunt God. Third of all, Elio, and here's the key, are you 100% pure in this? Now, we're not ones to question, Elio, are you 100% pure? It comes out, and the Gemara says, Besof, interesting language in the Gemara, Hodilo. Hashem admitted that Elio is okay, and he helped him also. The miracle happened. That was a hard breakthrough. That was a difficult breakthrough. It wasn't an easy breakthrough. Chana, relative, Vatispal, Chana, Vatoybar, Alaz, Libi, Bashem. Chana was somehow answered with her chutzpah. Moshe Rabbeinu was answered with his chutzpah almost instantaneously. Elio, I'm not sure. What was it he sure about? Why the here and yes, and why not? Why us not? Now, first of all, I want to tell you, there are many Hasidic stories where they talk about how Hasidic Rebbes screamed at God. So, the first thing we have to understand is that the Gemara says here, you shouldn't scream at God. Is that, I don't know about those stories, because this is maybe Moshe, maybe Chana, maybe Eliyahu, but I don't know about the Cholnitz Rebbe or something. Like, what are you screaming at God? But here's the thing. What was the difference between Moshe, Chana, and Eliyahu? Or, for that matter, what was the difference between Moshe, Chana, and everybody else? So the difference is, yeah. Selfless. Selfless. Very good. Very good and very simple. That if you're going to yell at God, it has to be for God's sake. As the vernacular goes, for God's sake, help this person. Right? What if you're going to yell at God and you have any kind of personal ego in this, interest in this, then don't yell at me. You caused your own problems. I didn't. But once you're yelling at God, look, a high level is, when I say yelling at God, like speaking with a kind of demand, chutzpah. What's that? I'm talking chutzpah to God. If it's for other people, megmendoch, you're allowed to do that. And if it's for God's sake, because how do you expect the whole world to work and to recognize God? And the whole reason you created God to begin with, created the world to begin with, was so that the world should. How do you expect the Mashiach to come if you're going to torture people with holocausts? So that's for God's sake, and for that you're allowed to yell or have chutzpah to Hashem. So it's a really clear and simple things. I just want to just read you what we just said, what Chaim said so simply. It wasn't sure if there was a personal. What does that mean? God wasn't sure. I don't know, but it wasn't clear if there was a personal interest in it. Also, of course, Eliyahu was only interested in the honor of God, but he was also stuck on Mount Carmel, you know, with the Nevi'ei Baal. Look, how many of us can say that 100%, 100%, you know, like we're, you know, I always think to myself, the Gemara says that if you daven for somebody else, and you need the same refuah, right? Right? I'm poor, I daven for you because you're poor. So then it's chilas. Hashem will take care of my poverty. So a great trick. if you want to take care of your poverty, find somebody else who's poor and daven for them. What's the, so the answer is that trick doesn't work. The only way this works is if I'm genuinely davening for the other person. Then Hashem says, okay, I like you. But the minute I'm davening for you so that you'll answer me, so then you messed up. I mean, do it. I'm not, you know, but it doesn't necessarily work. So Rav Tzedek says the follows. I just heard the Rasisei Laila Ois Nun. Ois Memtes, I'm sorry. He talks about this Gemara. This is his words, which is very similar to what you're saying, Chaim. But listen to the beauty of Rav Tzedek. Allah Emes, he says, because the truth is, Lo Shayach Klal Chatzifus BeYisrael. Jews don't have chutzpah when it comes to Hashem. It's not chutzpah if I want you to yell at me. I'm looking for a reaction. I'm looking for an emotional reaction. Imagine yourself now as a parent, you know, and you're let's say you're punishing your kid for some reason, and he's just not reacting. He's not reacting. So I want you to react. I want you to say, stop punishing me. Because otherwise, like, what it means I'm not, you know, you got to turn up the dial and it gets to be dangerous. Like, if you're not reacting, are you so cold? are you so thick? Is your skin so thick that you don't understand that you did something terrible here? So the fact that we're reacting, says Rav Tzedek, is actually a positive thing. It's so many times, three times, as far as I know, the Gemara says that Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol went lifnei lifnim, and he prayed to God that you should behave, your rachamim should take over your azarias, and he said, Hashem said, nitzchuni banai, you won, you did what I want you to do. You understand this? This is what he wants us to do. He wants us to bring the Shechina in the world. He wants us to be so connected that we can actually sound like we're having chutzpah. This is what the tzaddikim and the Gemara were sumcha. That's why they talked to Hashem with chutzpah. It just looks from the outside as throwing something at God. The truth, Hashem Yisrael chomed u'misave. Hashem is just waiting. Hashem is waiting. When is someone going to come and unlock this prison gate? When is someone going to come and unlock this prison gate? Sometimes we have to do it. So we have to do it physically. We have to do it. Like, when is somebody going to help these people? When is somebody going? Let me put it in my simple language. When is somebody going to care? When is somebody going to care enough to get angry? Because when you get angry, then I know that I hit a nerve. I touched a nerve. And when you touch a nerve, when Hashem touches a nerve, and we are the nerve endings of God, so when Hashem touches a nerve, so that means we're alive. And when we're alive, we say, take us out of here. And take us out of here is renewing the kesher with Hashem Yisparach, and it's renewing it in two ways. Two ways. One is, whoa, we got into trouble. And two, we want to restore the relationship because we know that you didn't create us here in the world to make trouble. You didn't create us to make trouble. You didn't create the world to suffer. So what you have here is you know, I just want to go back to the Holocaust. I never talk about the Holocaust. First of all, it's a mitzvah of my family not to talk about the Holocaust. I realize that my father, my grandfather, my last 2 week study, like, there must be 200 people that I know about, close uncles and aunts that all died within a few weeks in the Holocaust. But the mitzvah of the Jews, for all those years that I was growing up, is didn't talk about it. It was only, maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago that people started talking about the Holocaust, about Shoah. It was just quiet because it was too stifling to talk. And what are you going to say? Are you going to try to explain it? So I still don't want to talk about the Holocaust. I can't explain something like that. Maybe, like, I could explain, you come here at Tisha B'Av, I could try to explain the destruction of the Second Temple 2,000 years ago. That's far enough that I could explain to you. But I can't explain to you why my grandparents got killed. That I can't explain. So it's better not to, maybe it's better for another couple hundred years to just kind of leave it alone and not try to philosophize about it. But just this is the only thing I want to say, is that obviously there was some kind of a disconnect. And the disconnect had to be reconnected. And the reconnection is sometimes painful and cleansing, and just like every other healing process, it can get worse before it gets better. That's the way it is. If I have five more minutes, I just want to go into this Gemara deeper, and I want to show you something. Ba'ava. I don't know if that's true. I think that I accept what's happening to me as something that obviously is Hashem's Ratzon. That's what it means to be accepted by Ba'ava. And now I could say, I want you to stop that behavior. That's Yitiyach Dvarim Klapi Malo. I don't have enough time to read inside, although I'd love to and I'd love for you to, but I think that, first of all, I've become a big fan of the Netziv in general, as the Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhin. But the Netziv on Shir HaShirim is like Kodesh Kedoshim. It's just one of the most beautiful Sfarim. Every Pasuk in Shir HaShirim is just so, so special. The name of the Sefer is Rina Shel Torah. Shir HaShirim, Rina Shel Torah. And the specific place is in Perikei Pasuk Ches, and I'm just going to explain outside, and maybe we'll see. Hishpati eschem benos Yerushalayim. This is God talking, as He explains to the nations of the world. Benos Yerushalayim are the nations of the world, and it means there will come a time. I don't think we're not there now. It doesn't look like from the news. But there will come a time that people will recognize that God created the world and history has a method. Hashem has put a plan in this world. And at that time, there'll be a recognition and there'll be peace in the world. And the Benos Yerushalayim are going to say, but the Jews, they suffered so much. They must have left your way. They must not be your chosen people. You see, this is what the Christians say now. Christians say, if God loves the Jews, why do you make a Holocaust? Why do you make pogroms? Why do we kill them? this is Christians say till today. Whenever I say this on live YouTube. I must have like a whole group of born again Christians listen to me, hi, and they send me all kinds of emails that are witnessing to me and telling me that you're not understanding. I think I understand it better than them. That the Shir HaShirim, Shlomo HaMelech talks about this, and he says to the Benos Yerushalayim, which he says the Maskilim Shalom Asoilim Gdolei Umos HaMaskilim. He says to him, "In Timsu es Dodi, if you find the Jewish people, you're going to find the Jewish people. Ma tagidulo? What will you say to him?" He's talking about when Mashiach comes. What are you going to say to them? I have a message for you, for the Jewish people, that I'd like you to give to them. Interesting. Imagine this. Mata gidulo, what should you tell them? What should you tell Dodi, Anila Dodi, Vidodi, he's talking about Bnei Yisrael. Tell them shecholos ava ani. Tell them that I'm lovesick. Now, when we say, and I'm going to explain to you what the Nassif says, which I think is a very deep point. When we say that we're lovesick, it means to say that, I guess what it means to say, is that we really love somebody, but we for some reason are barred from having a connection with that person. So I get like sick inside, like I'm lovesick, like I'm in pain. So when we're saying God is lovesick, what does it mean? It means that Hashem wants to have a connection with us, and we keep messing it up. We keep assimilating. We keep walking in the wrong direction. We keep not listening to it. So you should tell them, why should the Goyim tell us this? This is an amazing thing. You should tell them, because this is giving meaning to our suffering, cholos avani. It's like, it would be like a father that estranged his son from the house. If you see him, tell him that I love him. And not only I love him, but I'm miserable over the fact that he's not here with me. What would you throw him out of the house for? So, cholos avani. So the Nassif explains that when the what's going on here, and I hope I can say what he's saying correctly and quickly. Let's read you a hakavona, just a sentence. Shekolap shayim shalanu, the wrong things that we do, whatever your wrong thing is, choose yours, you know. It's not really because we don't believe in God. Very few people are atheists. And even if you're an atheist, it's really just cognitive dissonance. Even Bilam said, deep inside, everybody is really believing. So what's the problem? Even though you see that a person is not particularly observant, most people will say, I do believe in God, or I keep the Ten Commandments, or something like that. Not only that, we've seen in history, not everybody, but so many people, that we're not particularly Orthodox people, let's say, or religious people at all. It's hard to say religious, because I don't know what religious means, but they weren't keeping the mitzvahs. When push came to shove, and they said either in early times, bow down to an idol or I'll kill you, or become a Christian and I'll kill you during the Inquisition, you know. They said, kill me. You don't keep Shabbos. What do you want me to kill you for? Shabbos is one thing, but I'm not gonna go give up my faith and the faith of my father and faith of my grandfather. And we found this often. There's books written about this phenomenon. So there's something deep inside which is okay. But what happens? This is where he explains the mechanism here. You know, which is so fascinating because it might explain a whole generation, post-Holocaust generation. And a person is going after their own needs. It's because, yes, he has emuna, but he doesn't have ava. He believes, but he doesn't love. And the reason that he doesn't love Hashem, what is it? You know, I've often told the story that I once said to my Rebbe. I said that it's very difficult for me to raise money. That's like one of the things that's difficult for me to do, and it's holding me back in life. I would have the building to be finished already, and I'd have like a couple of yeshivas and kolels and help poor people and everything. I don't like asking people for money. Okay, like chatasi. I don't like asking people for money. Probably nobody likes asking people for money, unless you're crazy. So I said this to Rav Scheinberg. I said, it's holding me back. So he says, that's just, the problem is that your avas atzmo is bigger than your avas Hashem. You know, you love yourself more than you love God. Or more than you love the cause. So I said, oh, is that what it was? You know. you know how true it is. I mean, you know, I'm not. You know, it hurts. You know, it hurts. You're ruining your pride, your ego. You're changing the dynamics. Blah blah blah. You know, unless you like really know how to do it, which I don't. So you make the other person feel like you're doing him a favor. I don't know. To me, somebody gives me $100,000 doing a favor. Now, I mind you, many people have given me $100,000 to for tzedakah. It's not like I haven't succeeded in it. I'm just not good at it. They give it to me in spite of me. But the point is, avas Hashem, avas atzma. There's what I caring about myself, or am I caring about God? But listen to this. They have ava, they don't have Eder avas Hashem, who b'nei shakadosh baruch hu. Now here's the key sentence. If you don't remember anything else from this morning, remember this. Why do we not have Ava for Hashem? Where's the Ava? We have a Buddha, so why do we have Ava? And the answer is, he says, Mipnei Shakadosh Baruch Hu Master Panim Vohar Avasai Mimenu, because Hashem is not showing much love for us. Wow. We flip that right back at you. Meaning that if you would love me and show love, of course I would love you. But it's hard to love you when you're giving me a holocaust. It's hard to love you when I have a headache. So comes the Netziv and he says that cholas ava means that there is a disease called no ava here. And the Netziv says that we need to turn to Hashem and say to Hashem, that if you're taking the wrong tack, do you understand this? Talk about chutzpah, but that's what the Gemara means. He tiach dvarim klapei malo. That's what the Gemara means. That you're taking the wrong track here, because if you're taking the punitive tack, and you're punishing us, and you're expecting for everyone to run and do tshuva, well, did people do tshuva after the Holocaust? I don't know. Seems to me like they left. When did people do tshuva? When we started seeing the love, when we started seeing the miracles, when we started seeing that Hashem is still with us. Maybe some people did. I'm not judging, but I know, you know, before it was popular to call people going off the derech, I don't know, my whole family went off the derech, except for my father. Like, they all came from tzaddikim, and then everybody became a conservative, then reformed, then assimilated, then married non-Jews, this and that. So my father was one string in the family for some reason. I don't know, miraculously stayed with it. With difficulty, without education, without anything, but he stayed with it. But the Nesiv is saying you can turn around the situation and say this is cholas ava. That it's, don't just say that. Oh, I wish you would have ava for me, and then everything would be so great. You want to know how to have ava? This is how he's understanding the pasuk cholas ava sadi. This is how it works when you will have Ava, show Ava for the Bnei Yisrael, for the world at large, then everybody will love you back. It's like Kimayim HaPanim HaPanim. You know, sometimes you have to, as they say here in Israel, break the cycle of violence. In Arabic, it's Ahudna. So Ahudna means that, you know, if you're shooting me because I'm shooting you, I'm not going to give all the politics here, but I'm just saying, if you're shooting me because I'm shooting you, and you're shooting you because you're shooting me, like who remembers who made the first shot already? But it's not making anything better. Nobody's loving you because you're shooting them. I mean, there could be deterrence and all kinds of, you know, strategic things. I'm not going to get into that. But nobody loves you because you shoot them. You know, okay, I love you. that doesn't work. Nobody loves you because you're abusing them. That's for sure. So forget about Gazans. Think about, you know, about Netziv, who's saying that Shlomo HaMelech is calling out to Hashem and saying, give us, this is what Chana did. You know, show me love and we will show you love back. At the end of the day, it's all a circle. The relationship with Hashem is Hashem created the world. We are the world. There's a circle of how the whole thing interacts. If we broke the circuit, why did we break the circuit? Well, you could say, well, we broke the circuit, therefore the light's not coming. Or you could say, we broke the circuit because you stopped giving us love. So there's two ways to look at it over here, but the main thing is, let's redraw the circle. That's the main thing. And that's what he says. Ani l'dodi v'dodi li is a circular... Who said that? That's us or that's Hashem?
Why are we telling
Anila Dodi Lila?
Why are we telling the Goyim?
So he has a long explanation on this, but it's... The Goyim are the ones that are saying, you're suffering because you've sinned.
They're saying to Hashem.
They're saying to Hashem, or they would be saying to Hashem, that, look, the people have left you. And you're going to go to say to the Jewish people, you left them. You're no longer the chosen people. Tell them, tell the Jewish people that the circle has to be rebuilt. The circle has to be repaired. And the relationship has to be repaired. All relationships have to be repaired. But, you know, it's a thing like, you know, I want to end with this just personal thing. Like, it's not a deep story, just a personal thing, not a Holocaust story, nothing. But I remember there was somebody who so insulted me. I mean, it was like really bad. I walked into a room of people and he said something like really, really insulting and offensive. It was like, I don't think I'm so sensitive, but this was like, really embarrassing in public. So I engaged in punitive action. I refused to talk to this person. I refused to look at the person. If you talked to me, I walked away. I'm not going to be insulted like that. I'm a person. And I did this for maybe a bunch of weeks. It didn't seem to improve the situation at all. It was just getting me more and more, into it. And then my sometimes wiser than me wife said that, you realize that he doesn't even realize that you're not talking to him. I said, how could it be? How could it be? I'm really giving this guy the cold shoulder. He doesn't realize it at all. doesn't cop it at all. The only person that's going to cop that is a deep, sensitive person who you really love. And then they're going to think, well, why didn't you shake your hand long enough? And why didn't you? This guy is going right over his head. So, so then I didn't meet my wife anymore. So let me take the other way around. And I came over to him and I gave him a hug. But she didn't think it was anything exceptional. But we became friends. Now, we became friends long enough and strong enough that I was able, it was actually on Erev Yom Kippur, to say to him, I love you very much, but, why'd you say that? So he said, I didn't realize. I said, you didn't realize. I said, let me repeat to you your words and the place of the thing. He says, you're right. I'm sorry. Now, I gotta say this. I'm not one to take, the truth is, I call people on it when they're out of order. But I don't think being punishing is like a very effective idea, honestly. I don't think punishing, whether we're punishing our spouses or our friends or our kids. Not that the Yesh Makom, there's a place for it, but I don't think it's very effective. There's studies on it. So it'd be machmer. I don't think you punish people. It doesn't seem to work. It might work in the short term, but at the end of the day, if you punish your kids too much, they end up hating you. So then what? What did you accomplish? So the short term, I remember my father telling somebody once, he says, when you hit a kid, he never hit me in my life. I never got hit once in my life, at least not for my parents. But I remember he telling somebody who was hitting his kid, he says, when you slap a kid across the face, so there's 10 seconds of quiet, the kid's in shock, and then they start to scream and cry. He says, you got to cherish those 10 seconds. That's what you're going to get out of this. 10 seconds of quiet. After that, it's hate all the way. So this is the point of the Nesiv. So the thing is that, let's just to sum it up, and I'm sorry we're going a little over, but we met this on Sunday. The point is the introduction here is that there are two levels of pain. There's our pain and there's Hashem's pain, but we don't even have to look at it like that. We can look at it as a relationship. A relationship has two parts to it, but it's a relationship. It's one circle. So it's all one thing. And you can always, whether it's in a human relationship or in a spiritual, godly relationship, the idea is to try to jumpstart the relationship. Which Shlomo HaMelech says, Anila Dodi V'Dodi Li, which you could translate it either way, and with different Mepharshim are translating it different ways. What Shlomo HaMelech is saying, Like, why are you waiting for us to start? Why don't you do something to start? And then every once in a while, that's what happens. There's some kind of a great miracle happens in this world, and everybody says, hey, you know, we still have this connection, and you get past it. You get past it. The miracles of a six-day war got us past the Holocaust. It's the miracle of the whole Israel can get us past a lot of tsar. How? It doesn't answer any questions, but you see, there's a relationship, and that's what it means. That sometimes, if you're a pure soul, and you're 100% altruistic, hitiach dvarim klapei malo. There is such a thing, and this is what the big rebbes, the tzaddikim, the Reb Tzaddik says, chein nag u'tzaddikei olam. You can say to Hashem, you start. The tzaddikim starting, that's not working very well. You start. And if you start, I'm going to go along with it. We can say it as individuals, and we can say it as a group, or we can say it for the whole world. And this is a derech of avoda. It's a different derech of avoda, but it's actually a beautiful derech of avoda, because it all comes down to one thing: the circle of relationship, the relationship which is anila dodi vadodi li, that the whole shira shirim is all about. The whole shira shirim is about this relationship. Let's restore the relationship, and let's just start with doing something nice, both God. Okay, thank you very much. I apologize for my. Just one second. Gentlemen, I just want to remind everybody that tonight, right after Marv is at 8:30, right after Marv, Rav Pinchas Friedman will be joining us for the shul. He's a big gadol, the Shvilei Pinchas. He's a big gadol, I'm a big admirer, and I want to make sure that he has a lot of kavod. So even if it's difficult for you, men, women, I just ask you to please come and show kavod. Don't we shut it here? Don't shut that.